Chapter number 20, I failed to make an announcement that's right here in front of me in great big black letters. I don't know how I missed this, but Darren Thompson would like to need some help with our Family Promise Week. He is, that's the homeless shelter here in town. Would you please see him if you can help out with as a volunteer for the week of April the 26th through May the 3rd, and some help that is needed, some fellowship time in the evening, just to kind of spend some time with the families that are there. Also to maybe to provide some meals that need to be delivered at 5 in the evening. And I do want to let you know that those who go to stay as chaperones, you will have to go through a background check, but that is free. But he needs some help with that. So would you please see Darren if you could, and if you'd like to be a part of that wonderful, wonderful ministry of reaching the homeless families here in Delaware. All right, John chapter number 20. I'm going to read my text. I'm going to pray. And then we have a very special song that's going to be sung, and I think you're going to enjoy it. Special music. Is something that we are enjoying so much more of here of late. These folks are going to sing a song that I have asked for several months as I thought about Easter coming. The song is entitled "He Knows My Name." Many of you may recognize that, and I'm looking forward to hearing that. Yeah, I chose that song because it goes with the message. Many times Jesus called those who were hurting and needed him by their names. At the tomb, Mary did not know who Jesus was until he called her name. Let's read the text, and then they'll sing, and then I'll preach the message to you. Verse number 11, please, John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And she saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." And she turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." I want to preach to you this morning. He knows your name. He knows your name. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for another opportunity to be in your house. Lord, now as we near the preaching time, I pray that you take this morning, this very special day when many families gather together and are looking forward to time together, I pray that you'd help us to set aside 30 minutes or so to just focus on the preaching of your word. Lord, make it count for your kingdom. Make it be profitable time in all of our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd show yourself now to those who maybe are here today and don't feel you close and don't know you. Lord, please impress upon them today that you know their names. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Spend today in a conversation, then in the mirror, face to face with somebody less than perfect. I wouldn't choose me first if I was looking for a champion. In fact, I'd understand if you picked everyone before me. But that's just not my story. True to who you are, you saw my heart and made something out of nothing.
I'm not
world of the King is forever
held in treasure.
You'll have to look quickly if you want to see your name up there. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, ladies. He knows your name. I don't know if you believe that or not. I'm going to try to convince you that he knows your name. At the tomb, Mary was very grief-stricken. We find her in verse number 14. The Bible says that when she had said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. I know many people would ask and say, how can Mary, this woman who was so close to him, this woman who knew him so well and walked with him for 3 years, how could she not know him when she saw him? Well, let me just say a couple of things by way of introduction. First of all, please understand that pain and despair and grief cause a lot of people to not be able to see Christ. You're surrounded by people every day in your life that cannot see Jesus because of their problems, because of their pain, because of the grief that they feel. Secondly, may I say that she had watched the religious leaders of her day treat Jesus horribly, treat all Christians horribly. And may I say, that's not a whole lot different today. I don't know how you've come here today. Perhaps you came here today as someone's guest, and may I just say, if you're not already a Christian, I've got to be honest with you. I've had people that say to me, well, you know, I'm not a Christian because I'm just not all that impressed with the way most Christians act. And may I say to you, neither am I, especially this one. If I had to base my belief on Jesus Christ on the behavior of this Christian right here, I wouldn't believe in him either. You see, we don't always behave and act the way that we should. Very much like those days and as is today. She was also looking in the wrong place. One of the angels said to her, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Can I just say to you, you're not going to find Jesus among the dead. Yes, he was hanging on a cross, but you notice he's not there now. Right? He didn't stay on there very long. He did his job. He did what he had to do. He's not there anymore. He's also not in the tomb. He's not among the dead. He's alive. We won't find him in among the dead today. But you know, there are a lot of folks that are looking for Jesus in a lot of places. You know, let me just say, you've come into a church that we may not be right about everything, but I'll tell you this much: what we do believe is right, that is what we're going to preach. That's what we're going to stand on. There is one way to heaven. That is through Jesus Christ. Now, there may be multiple roads to get to Jesus, but he's the only way into heaven. And that's not always understood in the world. So please understand that, that's what the Bible says. She was also looking kind of in the wrong way. She was looking for, she didn't come to the tomb looking for a risen Savior. Can I remind you what the image was? The last image that she had of Jesus Christ was of him hanging and being removed from a cross, beaten, bloody. The Bible says that his visage was so marred, you couldn't even tell that he was a man. We saw that on Friday night. We watched a graphic video of what it truly would have looked like, and it was hard to watch. That's what she was expecting to see. She didn't expect to see the risen Savior. You see, so in many ways, I think that Mary came like so many people today. She came not really expecting to see Jesus. She came not really expecting to see him rising, having risen from the dead. In many ways, she came very doubtful, somewhat skeptical. She came hurting and not really sure. However, I believe that she also came deep down hopeful. See, she did not expect Jesus. She did not have enough faith to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. She didn't believe she was going to see him the way that she should. But I think deep down inside of her, there was a little bit of hope, and that's why she came. And can I say to anybody here this morning, if you're skeptical, you say, well, I just don't know about this Christianity thing. I don't know. I came as somebody's guest. I told them I would come, but I'm not sure about that. May I say to you, I don't blame you. There's a whole lot of reasons to not believe the story around this cross. I get that. But may I say to you, everything changed when he called her name. And may I say to you, everything will change when you realize Jesus knows your name. That's what I want to talk with you about this morning. He knows your name. And so I will try to be very kind with your time, but I want to tell you three things this morning about Jesus knowing your name. Number one, may I share with you that he knew your name before you were born. He knew your name before you were born. If you have your Bible and you'd like to, turn to Jeremiah chapter number 1. You say, well, how do you know that he knew my name before I was born? Well, we have this account here that Jeremiah gives to us. And Jeremiah was a prophet called by God. And God gave us some insight into what happened prior to his birth. In chapter number 1 and verse number 5, God said this to Jeremiah. He said, before I formed thee in the womb, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Notice he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Jesus knew your name before you were born. Continue reading in verse 5. He said, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. You see, Jesus knew his name before he came out of the womb. You know, procreation may be a natural process, but the beginning of life is a supernatural process. Please understand, it was God who formed you in the womb. If you're here this morning, you say, well, you know, my parents just sort of made that decision and I'm here because my parents made it. No, you're not. You may be here in part because your parents made a decision to have you or some circumstance like that. But let me just say to you, the process of creating life is not something that any mom and dad have the ability to do. They can do their part, but the supernatural process of when that union comes together and actually becomes a human life is something only God can do. God is in charge of life. Please understand that. You say, well, I don't know that I believe that. I'm this. I'm telling you, God is in charge of life. And no scientist, no doctor can explain how that union actually becomes life. So please understand, God knew you before you were born. My friends, you were not just some product of chance fertilization. I'm trying to talk to some hearts here this morning. You are not just a product of random fertilization. You didn't just happen to be here. You were here because God wanted you to be here. Now again, you say, well, how could that happen? Because I was the product of, you know, perhaps you were the product of some horrible act. Perhaps you were the product of rape or something like that. May I say to you, that may be the case. The terrible thing that may have happened that brought you physically into this world had nothing to do with bringing life to your body, bringing life to your being. God formed you in the womb. He knew your name before you were born. You know, we can explain the chemical process that takes place in the brain where one neuron can communicate with another neuron electrically and chemically, and there's a whole process. Doctors can tell you all about that, but what they cannot tell you is when your brain became a mind. I say it this way, they can't explain when you became you. They can't tell you when you became you, when you became that person that you know yourself to be. Only God can do that. God knew your name when he formed you. Notice he said, when I formed thee, I knew thee. But no, actually, that's not even what he said. Would you notice, we'd go back again? He said, before I formed thee. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. You were no accident. I said you were no accident. You are not just here for no reason. You are not some bad choice that your mom and dad made. You were not some good choice that your mom and dad made. You were not born into this world for no reason. God has a reason for you being here. Please know that. Again, I know what I'm saying right now is falling on some deaf ears, but throughout the course of this message, I'm going to try to convince you that what I'm saying is true. You are here because God wants you here. And God wants to do something with you. God loves you, and he's proven it over and over and over again. Jesus proved it right there. He said, there's a reason why I did that. There's a reason why he hung on that cross. Although as hard as it was to watch the video and to watch the Passion of the Christ and movies like that, I think the most touching part of that thing was when we saw that Jesus embraced that cross. Do you remember that? Did you see that? When he embraced that cross as if he wanted that, he needed that. He was embracing that cross, and even somebody chided him for that and said, "Why are you embracing your cross, you fool?" And I think in his mind, he knew what that cross really was doing. He said, "I'm doing this for everybody that will trust me because you're that important to him." He knew your name before you were born. You're no accident. You see, that there are some that would say, "Well, why can't I see him then? Why can't I feel him then? Why all the hurt in my life?" Can I say to you, the reason that you have many of those things is because although he knew you, he has not controlled you. You see, Jesus is not a dictator. He does not control you, and he does not control the people around you. It's a valid question. Why all the heartache in the world? Why does God allow such terrible things to happen in the world? I'll tell you why. Because he has to. The only way he could control all those terrible things in the world is if he controlled you also. But God is not a dictator. God does not want us to be robots. He gives us the ability to choose, and sometimes we choose very poorly. But nevertheless, he knew you before he formed you in the womb. Before he did, he knew your name. Jesus chose to pay for men's sins, pay for men's behavior, not to stand and control men's behavior. He loves you, and he called your name. You say, "Well, I just don't feel very loved." Can I take you to Psalm 139? Psalm 139, you say, "I don't really feel that love of God very much in my life." Can I tell you how he described the process that he went through to form you in the womb? Psalm 139, verse number 14. David was writing. David understood how God formed him. And he said, "For thou hast," verse 14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Can I say something to all the teenagers again? Please, all the teenagers, would you listen to me? All the children, can I tell you once again, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't you worry about what your body looks like to you. Amen. Don't you worry about what the world says that your body has to look like, what your face has to look like, what you have to do in order to have friends. Don't pay any attention to that. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Just the way you are. Now, there's nothing wrong with trying to make ourselves better. There's nothing wrong with trying take care of ourselves as best we can. But I want you to know something. Jesus said, "I made you, and you were fearfully and wonderfully made." Jesus loves you just the way you are. 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 Now, he doesn't want any of us to stay the way we are. But he loves you just the way you are. I'm glad you like that, Gary. See, we all need to make improvements. We all need to change. But you teenagers, please know this. You girls especially, he loves you just the way you are. You don't have to do anything to garner the love of Jesus Christ. You don't have to do anything that makes you uncomfortable to garner his love or anybody here. He loves you just the way you are. And he called your name before you were even born. Let's keep reading. "You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, being yet unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." Would you notice in verse number 17? As I prepare to move on, notice he didn't say, "How precious were thy thoughts unto me." He said, "How precious are thy thoughts unto me," which brings me to my second point this morning. I said, first of all, he knew your name before you were born. Number two, he knows your name today. He knows your name today. He knows where you're at. I know that so many times we get in the depths of life, and life is very cruel, and life can be very hard on us, and we sometimes look around us, and we feel like nobody even notices us. Can I tell you, Jesus notices you? He knows where you are. He knows you today. He knows your name today. Let me show you a story. Take your Bible and go to John chapter number 1. Just back from our text, John chapter number 1. So how can I know Jesus knows me? I can't see him. I can't hear him. There was a man named Nathanael, would become one of Jesus' disciples. But while Jesus was gathering up his disciples, he called them by name, and he called Peter, and he called Andrew. Andrew went out and found this man named Nathanael, and he said, "Hey, we have found the Messiah." We pick up the reading in verse number 45, John chapter number 1, verse 45. "Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Now, would you watch what Nathanael said? Nathanael's like a whole lot of us. Nathanael's what we call a skeptic. Nathaniel is one of these guys. He doesn't, he really honestly didn't believe it. He's a good man. We'll see that, but he's a skeptic. Notice he said in verse number 46, Nathaniel said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Come and see. You know, Nathaniel was a man who was a skeptic, as so many are today. But Jesus knew he was a man with great potential. But Jesus knows that there's great potential in everybody. There's great potential in everybody. But Nathaniel was a skeptic. You know, again, I go back to, and I knew we would have some guests here today, and I'm so thankful that you've come, and I would never point you out, and I don't want many of you probably, I'm sure, are believers, but I love to meet with people who are skeptics. Look, I enjoy talking with skeptics. I do it all the time. People who are not sure, and many of you know that. I have great conversations, and I'll tell you why. Because skeptics are honest people. You see, somebody who comes to me and says, well, you know, I just don't know that I believe that. I'd a whole lot rather talk to somebody who says, well, I just don't really believe all that Christianity stuff. I don't believe all that Bible stuff. I'd much rather talk to somebody who comes out and says that than somebody who plays along. I can have a great conversation with them. We can have great conversations. We have seen atheists come to this church and sit for months and months and months and months. Not while I convinced them of God, while God convinced them that he was real. And after 7 months, get out and walk an aisle and become children of God. And we love that, and we understand that. That's who Nathaniel was. Nathaniel was a skeptic. Would you notice? When Jesus met him, though, watch this. Look at verse number 47. Jesus saw Nathaniel coming to him and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Would you notice that Jesus Christ himself said, that's a good man. He's not necessarily a Christian man, not a saved man. Jesus Christ himself made the point, there's a whole lot of really good people out there that aren't necessarily believers. Can I just say once again, if you're visiting with us, you've stumbled into a church of non-judgmentalism. We preach the truth and don't compromise on it at all. Preach it just the way it is. But I want you to know something. You can come here and not be a believer. You can come here and search and seek and ask questions. My Wednesday night Bible study is a time where anybody can ask whatever questions and make whatever points they want to make. You see, because people are honestly searching for the truth, and none of us have a monopoly on the truth. The Bible's got the monopoly on the truth, but none of us do. And Nathaniel was a skeptic, just like so many are. And he came and he said, but Jesus said, you know, he said, I'm going to prove something to you, Nathaniel. He said, you're a good man. He said, but I want you to be a Christian. I want you to follow me also. Notice in verse number 48 what he said. Nathaniel said unto him, whence knowest thou me? You see that? He called him by name. And he said, you're a good man, Nathaniel. And Nathaniel said, how do you know? How do you know me? I've never met you before. How do you know that I'm a good man? And Jesus said, this is really going to throw you for a loop. He said in verse 47, or verse 48, he said, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Jesus knew his name even before they met. Can I say to you, you may have never met Jesus Christ. You may have met somebody that was presented to you as Jesus. You may have never come to the point where Jesus sort of showed himself to you, but I want you to know something. He knows your name. He knows your name. And he cares enough to talk to you about it. He cares enough. He cared enough about Nathaniel to have Philip go to him, and he knew his name. He said, I saw you under the fig tree, Nathaniel. Notice Nathaniel's response then. Nathaniel answered, verse 49, and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Can I tell you what happens when Jesus calls your name? You realize who he really is. Nathanael said, only the Son of God would know that. Only the Son of God could do that. He said, Jesus, I can tell. I know when you're calling me. I, when you called my name, Jesus, I knew you were the Son of God. Can I ask you a question? Has Jesus called your name? Has Jesus called your name? So what is this, Oral Roberts or somebody? How many of you are over 40 years old? You remember Oral Roberts and the 50-foot Jesus and all that? I'm not talking about that. Now, there's some of you who are way over 40 and you didn't raise your hand. I'm just making the point. Church is a good place to be honest. But has he called your name? What does that mean? I'm talking about, has he spoken to your spirit? Has Jesus called to you and said, I'm talking to you. I care about you. I know you. I've known you from before you were born. I've been reaching out to you. You say, well, I don't think it's ever happened to me. Are you sure? See, I don't think I've ever heard that. You know, Jesus called a lot of people at times when they didn't expect it. Jesus knows, though, what's going on with you today. You know, Jesus called a man who was sitting up in a tree. His name was Zacchaeus. How many of you sang that song when you were little? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. I always thought that was the weirdest song when I was a kid. I thought, what does that mean? Because that word wee meant something else to my mom. It's what she told me to say when I needed to go to the bathroom. Zacchaeus was a short little man. Climbed up in a sycamore tree. You know what? Jesus came along, and as Jesus passed underneath you, what did he say? He said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house. Now, all the people around said, whoa, whoa, whoa. If Jesus knew who that was, he'd never go to that man's house. Man was a cheat. Man was a tax collector and did terrible things to people, robbed from people, and all these horrible things. Jesus said, I know who he is. I've known who he was since before he was born. Yes, I know what he did. The woman who came with the alabaster box and broke it on Jesus' feet. I talked about that this morning at the sunrise service. She was described as one thing in the Bible by a Pharisee. He said, she is a sinner. And I think Jesus said, well, who's not? Now, the only one who wasn't was him. He's the only one who wasn't. He said, she was a sinner. You know, Jesus knows who they are. Jesus knows who you are. Jesus knows if you were sitting under a fig tree yesterday. Probably not. But he does know where you were sitting last night. He knows where you were sitting last night. He knows what you were doing. He knows what I was doing. And guess what? He loves you. Say, well, surely if he knew the things I've done in my past. Oh, he knows the things you've done in your past. He loves you. Say, well, you say that, but you don't know what I've done. I don't have to know. It doesn't matter to me what you've done. And Jesus said, it doesn't matter to me either. Because I can take care of that. In fact, he said, I already took care of that. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He says, I don't even remember that. Brand new life. But he said he knows you. He knows your mistakes. He knows your talents, knows your weaknesses, your failures and success. He calls people by name. He called Martha by name when she was rushing around and so careful. And he said, Martha, Martha, chill out. It's okay. You don't need to, it doesn't have to be perfect. He said, why don't you just sit down and worship for a few minutes? See, he knew their names. Called Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus was her brother. He was in the grave. He had been dead for 4 days, the Bible says. And Jesus came to the grave, and he called and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And we all understand he had to say Lazarus, otherwise every dead body in that graveyard would have come out. It would have. You want to talk about zombies? He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus did. Lazarus walked right out. You know, and he called Saul on the road to Damascus. Saul, who was persecuting Christians and all those things, and Jesus called him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You know, don't you think it would have been odd to hear your name called that way? Sure it would have. God doesn't do that with us so much, but he does call our names. Say, well, I just don't know. I hear him say Mary, I can hear him say Saul. But as he called you, so I don't remember him ever calling me like that. Well, are you sure? Are you sure he wasn't calling to you when you had that near fatal accident in your car that you went, boy, I was lucky there. Were you? Were you? Or was God calling you? You know, when you heard that diagnosis, was that God calling you? When you were at your financial brink, you were struggling financially, was that God saying, hey, I'd like to help you? Was he calling you when you were at your loved one's funeral and he said, I'd like to comfort you? Was he calling you when your life became so filled with guilt and you wanted some relief and God said, I'd sure love to take that guilt away from you. I'd sure love to take that away from you. Is that when he was calling you? Or maybe it was when you got that promotion at work and you thought it was because you're just so good. Or was God calling you and saying, son, I want to take care of you. My child, I want to help you. I want to help you to prosper. I want you to have a good life. You know, I don't know what it was, but maybe God was calling you when you had a friend that said, hey, would you come to church on Easter with me? We have some guests here today. Look, I don't know what brought you here. I'm so thankful that you've come. Maybe it was Maybe it was God calling you. Just sounded like your friend. Just sounded like that person saying, come on, I really want to have a guest to come on Easter. You're really going to like my church. You're really going to like my pastor. Well, we can't hit it all right, okay? He's so organized, you know, the service will be flawless. There won't be any issues, you know, like not putting a microphone on. Are you sure he hasn't called you? Maybe he's calling you today. I said he knows your name. He knew your name before you were born. He knows your name today. You matter to him. Last year, we sang a song. Kaylin sang a song for us last year. I don't know if you remember or not. She sang a song entitled, Someone Worth Dying For. You want to know how important you are to Jesus Christ? You were someone worth dying for. That's how much you matter to him. You say, well, I don't think he's talking to me. Then you call him a liar. Because he said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Someone worth dying for. I said that he knows your name before you're born. Number two, he knows your name today. Number three, and last, and most importantly, please stay with me now, and I'm almost done. He will know your name forever. For the sake of time, Revelation chapter 13 and Revelation chapter 20 both talk about a book. There's a book that's called the book, the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's found in the throne room of heaven. And if you've trusted Jesus, it's filled with names, by the way. And not names of beautiful people, not names of smart people, not names of people who have a membership in a church somewhere, not names of people who have given money to a church somewhere. Those are all good things. But that's not what gets your name in there. He said, this book is filled with names of those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And he said, the day that you trust Christ as your Savior, your name gets put into that book. And it's going to last forever. Jesus said, I will remember your sins no more, but I'll remember your name forever. Your name will be recorded forever. One of the things I think is going to be the greatest about heaven, there's going to be a whole bunch of has-beens in heaven. On earth, yeah, me too. On earth, he has been a sinner, not in heaven. The only thing that matters there is that your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, he has been a thief. He has been a liar. He has been a crook. He's been this. He's been that. Been doing all these things. Look, all the things that you have been doing here, none of those things are going to exist. You're going to take one thing to heaven with you, and that is your name. Because that's what's getting recorded. By the way, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins are blotted out. All those sins on your account, those don't go to heaven. We're not going to have to go to heaven and account for all those sins. That takes place in a whole different judgment. That's a judgment seat of Christ, a whole different message. But when you get to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not going to have to account for all those sinful things. And it's not because they didn't matter on this earth. Of course they mattered. Of course they hurt the heart of God. But Jesus said, I paid for those on the cross. And the only thing then that you have to worry about is your name written in that book? And if your name's written in that book, then you'll be in heaven. Jesus said, I'll know your name forever. Now, may I say that if Jesus had his way, everyone's name would be written in that book. Jesus said, I came for the whole world. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son. If Jesus had his way, his will, every person's name would be written in that book. But may I say, please, the Bible tells us very clearly that not every name is written in that book. In fact, the sad thing is that there are more names not written in that book than there are. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought you said that he knew our name. Take quickly, Matthew chapter number 7. I want to show you one passage. Most important point, stay with me. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 22. There's going to be a lot of people stand there. Many will say, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, notice the next four words, I never knew you. I never knew you. You say, wait a minute. I thought you said he knew my name before I was born. I did. He said, he knows my name today. I did. And I showed you that. Then how can he forget your name? How can he say, I never knew you? Because he's talking about those who did what Mary did. Last time, go back to our text, John chapter number 20. He's talking about those. He said, if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's because you did what Mary did. And I'll come back to the other in just a moment. But notice in John chapter number 20, verse number 16, when Jesus called Mary's name, Jesus saith unto her, Mary, look at the next three words, she turned herself. She turned herself. Please watch. The turning herself, the Bible word for that is repentance. It's repentance. What repentance means is, I'm going this way with my life, I hear Jesus call my name, and I turn. I turn away from the life I was going to live, and instead I say, Jesus, give me a brand new life. Jesus, give me a brand new future. Look, it doesn't mean your job's going to change tomorrow. It doesn't mean that you're going to have to change all your habits. Look, if you say, well, I just don't think I could change all that. I've got all these, I drink and I smoke and I do this and I do that. Fine, we all have lists like that. Jesus will take care of those in time. That's not really for you to even do. That's what Jesus does in your life after you get saved. But you can't do any of those things without first coming to know Him as your Savior. Say, well, I got to clean myself up first and then I'll come back to Jesus. Then you'll never come back to Him because you can't clean yourself up without Him. Look, I know that's not popular in the world. The world says, well, I can do anything. No, the Bible says you can do all things through Christ. But without Him, you can't do anything. You can't beat an addiction without Him. You can't beat an addiction without Him. You can't beat a mind problem with. Look, you can't beat depression without Him. The world's filled with depression. The world's filled with sadness. And that hurts my heart to think of so many hurting people. You can't beat that without Him. But with Him, you can do that. But the point is, He said, you've got to turn. There's got to be a time where Jesus called your name and you turned. Mary turned herself. So how then did we see back in Matthew chapter 7 that He forgot some? Because the Bible says, those who die in their sins. Please watch me and I'm done. Those who die in their sins cannot have that promise that He made, that I will remember your sins no more. You see, the Bible says, because God will not control you, He will not force you to repent. He will not force you to turn to Him. And He says, if you choose, even though I've called your name, if you choose to continue to walk the way that you're walking, you will eventually get to the destination you're headed to. He said, I'm not going to stop you. I won't stop you from choosing eternal separation from me, but I'll surely call you. I'll call you and I'll try to get you to turn back to me. But if you're bent on that, He will let you. But then the Bible says that in heaven, Jesus wipes away all tears. There's no more sorrow and there's no more pain. And that means, and please get, and I mean this with all the love that I have in my heart, that means no one is going to hurt for you in heaven. They're not going to remember your name. I hurt so much for a husband or a wife with an unsaved husband or wife. And you think, well, you know, I don't believe all that. I'm not going to choose. And they die in their sins. Your family's going to go to heaven. And Jesus is going to have to wipe their memory of you. Look, this is hard. I understand this. And we don't high pressure anybody to trust Christ around here. But I'm going to give you this true message before you leave this building. If you die in your sins because you refuse to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, your family goes on to heaven because they have trusted Christ as their Savior. They're not going to remember you. Because Jesus said He'll wipe away all tears from their eyes. Don't you want to be remembered? Amen. Hell itself is a reason to trust Christ as your Savior. It's not a it wasn't created. God didn't create hell for you. God didn't create hell for me. Yes, I'm talking to those who aren't saved today. Right now, I'm unashamedly, I'm talking to anybody in the room right now. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I am pleading with you the way that Jesus would if He were here. Well, He'd do it a whole lot better. But I'm pleading with you the best I can. And I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He knew your name before you were born. He knows your name today. And He wants to know your name forever. And He wants everyone to know your name forever. He wants you in heaven with Him. He wants your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you can have that today. You can have your name recorded today Not by being a good person, not by joining this church, not by giving money to this church, not by doing any works of yourself. The Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's nothing you can do to save yourself, and you don't have to, because Jesus did it all right there. And he said, I paid for your sins. All you have to do is trust me, and I'll put your name in the book. And by the way, he knows how to spell it. Even yours, Kershina. He knows how to spell your name. He's got a pen ready. He's got a pen ready. He's always ready. He's always ready. He's calling your name. He's calling your name. He's got his pen ready, and he's calling you. And he's saying, trust me as your Savior. That's all right. Out of the mouths of babes, thou hast perfected praise. That's what the Bible says. She just prays in the Lord. And he's ready to write your name. And during this invitation here in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. We're an old-fashioned church in the way that we always have an invitation. We have a brand new altar here. I want to encourage you, Christian, come here and pray. Use the altar for whatever you want. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I beg of you, please consider, is Jesus calling my name? And if he is, would you turn? That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do is turn around and say, Jesus, give me whatever you want me to have. I trust you. If you did that, I can trust you with my future. Let's bow our heads, please.